Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the 25th Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the Book of Amos. Hear this, you who trample upon the needy and destroy the poor of the land. When will the new moon be over, you ask, that they may sell our grain, and the Sabbath, that we may display the wheat? We will diminish the ephah, add to the shekel, and fix our scales for cheating. We will buy the lowly for silver, and the poor for a pair of sandals. Even the refuse of the wheat we will sell. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, never will I forget a thing they have done. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
Praise the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord, both now and forever.
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
High above all nations is the Lord. Above the heavens is his glory. Who is like the Lord our God, who is enthroned on high and looks upon the heavens and the earth below?
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor.
He raises up the lowly from the dust. From the dunghill he lifts up the poor, to seat them with the princes of his own people.
Praise the Lord who lifts up the poor. A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, first of all, I ask that supplications, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be offered for everyone, for kings and for all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and tranquil life in all devotion and dignity. This is good and pleasing to God our Savior, who wills everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as ransom for all. This was the testimony at the proper time. For this I was appointed preacher and apostle. I am speaking the truth. I am not lying. Teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. It is my wish, then, that in every place the men should pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or argument. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones, and the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us this week on your Sunday Reader. Today I'm here with a guest, a friend of mine, Manny Durantes. Manny, do you want to say hello?
Hi, everybody.
And I'm, of course, Brian. Don and Father Mark are not with us this week, but Manny's volunteered to join. Manny is a seminarian at Mundelein, as am I, studying for the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Except you're studying for Rochester.
I am studying for Rochester. That's right. Anyway, one thing, Manny, that struck me in these readings today was the line that if you can't be trusted in small matters, you won't be trusted in great matters. And one thing that hit me with that particular line is that a lot of times in our lives, or just in living daily life, you hear a lot of times people do something and they say, "Oh, but that's not really how I am," or "That's not really me. I'm not really like that." And for me, I think that this gospel kind of really addresses those types of situations where people do something and say, "Well, but you know, usually I'm not like that. Normally I'm like that." And right here we have Jesus saying, "Well, if you're like that with little things, that's how you're going to be with bigger things. And he says it is natural for us to make that assumption that if you can't handle a small thing, if you, you know, mistreat, you know, your friends or somebody who's close to you, you're probably also going to mistreat the stranger or treat them even worse. And I think that for me, that was something that really hit me, because I hear that all the time, how people say, and probably I do it myself, saying, oh, but that's not really how I am. And I think that this is a real call to conversion on that issue there, saying, if that's not how you are, if that's not how you want to be perceived by people, you need to get the small things right before you can get the big things right.
I was struck by the same thing, Brian. And, you know, carrying on the theme that you're particularly speaking about, you know, it makes me think of one experience that I had a few years ago here in the Archdiocese. You know, being in seminary, sometimes people treat us a little differently.
Yes.
People have certain expectations of us. And because of that, we're treated with, I guess, much more respect than other people, than perhaps if we were not seminarians. It was Christmas, and we were doing a big feast in one of the parishes here in the Archdiocese, and the pastor had finished with the Mass, and there was a whole committee that was organizing the celebration, the party. So Father asked me if I could go over and tell them that to please pull out all the food and everything for the party. And so I did not know these people. So I went in there and I said, excuse me, ma'am, could you please set up the things for the party? Father asked if that could be done. And she was so upset. She just looked at me and said, well, who do you think you are? I know what I'm doing. I've been here so many years in this parish. You know, I know exactly what has to be done. This is my fifth year, sir, doing this. So I just said, okay. And I moved out. You know, I went back into the church. And later, the pastor came by and introduced me to her, you know, after we were in the party. And she said, oh, I am so sorry. I did not know you were a seminarian. And, you know, in a funny way, it makes me think of this gospel. Because if you're going to treat somebody who is very little, who is humble, you know, differently than you would somebody who has lots of power and recognition and fame, you know, then there is something to be said about who we are. And like you say, you know, if we can't do it in these little matters, you know, can we be trusted really to do it with bigger things?
Mm-hmm. And then the line, of course, too, in this gospel about if you can't be trusted with your possessions here, your temporal goods, how can you be trusted with spiritual goods? That's kind of what flows from that. Right. And I think, you know, that flows from it here. There's also the line in this gospel that I also like, and I think a lot of people have heard it over and over, and we hear it all the time, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Of course, most of us, yeah, I honestly don't know exactly what mammon specifically is. I don't know, do you have any insight?
It's supposed to be money.
Okay, I was going to say, I knew it was some sort of monetary, I didn't know if it was the actual currency or where it was used or anything like that. But there is this idea that you can only serve one master. And a lot of times in our society, especially living here in the U.S. today, we're divided by so many different forces. It's not even God and mammon, but there's probably anybody could name 10 different forces that they're being pulled by. And we really have to get our priorities straight and saying that, you know, we do have to see everything as an integrated whole. We can't say, well, on Sundays when I go to Mass, I'm going to serve God, and then I'm going to go to work and do what my boss wants me to do, even though it's sometimes not ethical. And then, you know, I'm going to go home and be with my family. It's all one integrated whole. Unfortunately, in our society, we tend to compartmentalize things and say, well, you know, I only did this because my boss told me to, but even though I'm kind of morally opposed, or it was kind of a shady thing to do ethically, you know, in some sort of a business transaction or something. But ultimately, we have to be accountable for everything we do, and we have to put our lives as an integrated whole. We have to say, you know, is this somehow serving God? And certainly what we do in our careers and what people do at work can serve God, but it doesn't serve God. If it contradicts God, it doesn't serve God. It doesn't build up the kingdom. And in that case, those are those small things that we've been given responsibility for, I think, where we have to say, can I be trusted to, you know, conduct myself in a business meeting in a manner that's consistent with my Christian values and my Christian beliefs, or when I'm with my friends, or when I'm at home with my family, am I acting in a manner that's consistent with my Christian beliefs, or am I, you know, losing my temper all the time and taking things out on my family or my kids? Or at work, am I sitting here gossiping about my coworker rather than, you know, doing something that would build up the kingdom? And I think that that's very pertinent in our society today, all this serving of both God and mammon. And like I said, it's not even just God and mammon, because some people certainly get obsessed with their money, their 401ks, but there's also obsession with job, obsession with status, all sorts of things.
And I think that last line, again, it speaks about the integrity that we're called to have as Christians, that if we are really called and we are going to answer that call to serve Christ, you know, with our lives, then we really have to struggle, you know, to do everything that we must in order to be people of integrity, that our actions reflect what we say that we are. And so, you know, like the examples that you were given, it's completely important that we as Christians try to live out everything that we say, because if we don't, then our own statement of faith kind of loses value, you know, in the face of secular society, in the face of a society that challenges everything that we do. And we have to also keep a balance. I think the Gospels always try to call us to keep a balance, to say, well, you don't have to go to the extreme of just being a religious fanatic, you know, but on the other hand, you also have to remember your own, your primordial identity, which is a Christian. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean in today's world? What does it mean for each one of us in whatever it is that our vocation has been given to us?
Yeah, and I think that's the key thing, is seeing this all as a vocation there. That's a key word that you used there, is the vocation. You know, what am I called to do by God with my life? How am I called to serve God? And certainly, you know, for you and I, our vocation, at least both of us at this point believe, is towards priesthood.
Right.
But that's not the only vocation. There are several vocations. And certainly somebody who's a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, any of those could be a vocation if what they're doing is somehow being done in a manner that's consistent with building up the kingdom of God. And, you know, again, it's that adage of, you know, how can I prioritize my life? There was a famous book called, I think it's called I Am Third, and the author who wrote the book wrote it. He said the way he prioritizes his life is that God is first in his life, so everything he does has to be done with that God is first mentality. And then second are the other people around him, his family and friends, and I am third. And I think that's really a very basic Christian understanding of life, is that, you know, it's not so much that, like you said, where we have to be a religious fanatic, religious zealot, where we're, you know, at Mass every day, or where we're, you know, saying four rosaries a day and that sort of a thing. But
if you do, please don't. If you do, please don't stop doing it.
That's, oh, yes, yes, yeah. We're not discouraging those things. We don't discourage our devotions. But what we are saying here is what I'm doing consistent with what I believe? And that's the big thing. It's the whole adage of actions speak louder than words. It's very easy to say you're a Christian or to say you believe something. It's very difficult to actually live life as a Christian.
Yeah, and, you know, especially today, in which it's very easy to want to make more money, and you get all these offers, you know, to better your life. And this society, which is all about you, it's all about what you want. And the Christian message is always kenosis, emptying of oneself. You empty yourself so that, you know, Christ can live within you. And by, if you allow that to happen, I think everything else, your actions, your thoughts, your words will follow automatically. However, it's very difficult, I think, for most of us to come to that point of complete emptying of ourselves, of our desires and of our will, in order for God's will to be done in our lives and in the lives of those around us.
And it's a process. That's, I think, what you were getting at there, too. It's not something that you're going to do perfectly.
Correct.
Every moment. It's a process. It's done one week at a time, just like our podcast is done one week at a time. And we're actually coming to the end of our podcast, so we hope that this week has helped all of our listeners out there. And Manny, I want to thank you for joining me on the podcast today, and hopefully we'll have you on again in the future.
Thank you, Brian.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and hopefully you'll join us next week on your Sunday Reader. Have a good week, and God bless.
God bless you.